Psalm 119. Now, if you've read from Genesis to Revelation, the 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 of the New, and we are now in the book of Psalms. Psalm 119 is now halfway through the Bible, between the Old and the New. Right now, you're right in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 119. One of the longest psalms in the Bible, 176 verses given to us. And what is interesting about this psalm, it is a psalm that is born out of love for the law of God. It exalts the beauties and excellence of the written word of God. And it is found nowhere else in the Bible where it speaks more about God's word but Psalm 119. It's amazing. When you read it, when you study it. So right now we are halfway through the Bible, and as we're moving through the Bible, we've been studying one old, one new, one old, one new. And so we're moving pretty fast through the Old Testament. And we're almost done with the New Testament, because after Psalms, we're going to be heading back to the New Testament with 1st and 2nd Peter. And then after 1st and 2nd Peter, we come back to the book of Proverbs, and then we go back and we study 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. You see, so we're almost done with the New Testament, and we still have a long ways to go in the Old Testament. But it's always worth it when you read the Bible and you study it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, to know the counsel of God. I was sharing in my leadership yesterday that it's really important that if you're just a young Christian, you just came to the Lord, you're a novice, you're learning, that it's really important to read the Bible as soon as possible, all the way from Genesis to Revelation in a 1 year period of time. You can read it in 6 months if you want to. But I think it's important that every year you should read through the Bible. Why? Because if I was to ask it, I don't want to embarrass anybody here. If I was to ask how many of you here have been Christians for 1 month or 1 year or 10 years or 20 years or even 30 years, I would ask the question, how many of you in here have read through the whole Bible just one time? You would be surprised how many people haven't. You would be surprised. And the reason I share with you that word is because if you are not a young Christian, if you are an old Christian and you haven't read through the Bible, shame on you. Shame on you. You know why? Because you don't have the full counsel of God in your life. How can you share with other people when you don't even know the books of the Bible? And if you don't know from Genesis to Revelation, how can you know the mind and the heart of God in the scriptures? And know those 40 authors that wrote the Word of God, they were given to us the inspiration, illumination, and revelation that was given to them to write the very words of God to us. And what is amazing to me is studying God's Word. I get excited. Because as these men in the Old Testament were writing the Word of God as it was being dictated by God to them, many of them didn't really understand a lot of the prophecies, but they wrote them down and actually note them down for the future. And many of them, before those prophecies were ever fulfilled in their own time, they died. They didn't even see them get fulfilled. And yet here we are in the 21st century. And the whole Bible wasn't yet done. The New Testament wasn't even given yet. And imagine how it must be when you know that you have from Genesis to Revelation the 66 books of the Bible. And to know that when you read the Old Testament, you say, well, that's law. And then the New Testament is grace. Yes, in the Old Testament, what it does, it is pushing you forward to things to come in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we're no longer under the law of God, but by the grace of God, we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, every person that lived in the Old Testament, they died by faith, believing the promises of God. Believing the promises of God. And what's really beautiful about the teaching of God's word, what I would say to you, if you're going to study the Bible seriously, you're going to be a student of God's word, then you need to study it in its context. That means you need some books in your library. You need a Strong's Dictionary, Concordance. You need a Young's. What is that? Those are our books. They will give you every word in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, in the Hebrew and in the Greek, and in the back of the book, it gives you a number to the word, and it gives you the definition of the word, what it literally means in its language, if you're going to be serious. And then you need a good Bible dictionary to study God's word. And then you need a book on customs to know the background to those things that the Bible talks about. And one of the best little books of the whole Bible is Haley's Commentary. Haley's Commentary. Amazing. Amazing little commentary. And then if you're going to become a serious Bible student, then you need to buy books or a commentary through the whole Bible, like Matthew Henry, Beacon Commentary, in the New Testament, Barclay for History and Customs. And I can go on and on and tell you how to put a library together that you need. But it seems that in this age, in this particular time, people are losing interest in the teaching of the Word of God. You can tell. There are so many churches, even Calvary chapels, that are changing. And Chuck has always taught us to go through the Bible. Genesis to Revelation. Book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So that you can know the full counsel of God. Why? Because if I was to walk down the street, and I've been a Christian for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and somebody came to me and they asked me something about the Word of God, imagine how shameful it would be to say to them, well, I've never read the Bible. You're a Christian? You're a believer? Tell me about heaven. Tell me about hell. Tell me about purgatory. Tell me about the law of God. Tell me about the commandments of God, the judgments of God. Tell me about His statutes. That's what we're going to be studying tonight. And we need to be informed so that we can give. The Bible says that we need to study to what? Ourselves, to prove ourselves that we are what? A workman. He says, study to show thyself a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul exhorting young Timothy. Timothy, study God's word. There's not a lot of emotionalism. Emotionalism will not last. It will not last. And the reason people get bummed out and people get depressed and they get oppressed and they start losing hope because they're not in the Word of God. The Word of God builds up. The Word of God excites you. The Word of God gives you knowledge and wisdom, and it gives you a hope for the future. But if you don't really know that Paul the Apostle wrote the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians to believers in that church that were saved only for 3 weeks, exhorting them because they were saying to Paul, hey Paul, what's going to happen to our loved ones that have died? If Christ is going to come soon, then what's going to happen to the ones that already have died? And then Paul explains the rapture of the church. He says, those that have died, they are your loved ones, they're already in heaven, and they're going to come with Jesus Christ in the clouds, and then we're going to meet them in the air, and we're going to be with them for 7 years, and then we'll come back together at the second coming. You need to know. What can you share of that which you do not study. You need to know God's word. Imagine being a surgeon, a brain surgeon, and saying, I have a degree. But yet, you really skated to your degree. I surely wouldn't want you to do surgery on my brain. I want somebody that knows and they've been a good student and are not going to operate in the wrong place. But they're going to know what they're doing. We need to be informed. And David was a man that was greatly informed. Why? Because in Psalm 119, one of the longest psalms, he speaks about the law, the testimonies, the precepts, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, the words, and the ordinances, all to do with God's word. All to do with God's word. Very important. Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem. And it is one that is mostly elaborated of the alphabetical psalms, which is this. It is divided into 22 sections. The Hebrew alphabet has what? 22 letters. And what's amazing about Psalm 119, out of those 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, you will begin to see alpha, beta, and as he's moving through the alphabet, that in every 8 verse of Psalm 119, remember this, in Psalm 119, every 8 verses, each section begins with the same letter in the proper sequence of the alphabet and is designated at what? At the head of each section. Every 8 verses you'll read in Psalm 119. It's amazing the way God gave it to David to write it. It's incredible. And what a coincidence, no, that this is the middle of the Bible, Psalm 119, halfway through. Incredible. Everything by divine appointment. Now check this out. This blows me away. 8 is the number of what? New beginnings. Christos. 7 days in the week, on the 8th day, you begin a new week. 7,000 years, on the 8,000 years, the new heavens and the new earth. Everything in the Bible is so magnificent. You know why? Because God is a God of order, not disorder. And there's a lot of times that people are not, that's one thing about the military that I love, is discipline. Today there's a lot of young people that are not disciplined. They're all over the place. And that's why they can settle down and do a job that they're called to do. And you can call it short memory, whatever you want to call it, you know. He eats too much sugar or whatever, you know. That's all psychological stuff. I don't believe in stuff. I think it takes discipline to get up early in the morning. Life is so incredible. I mean, you know, if you sleep all the time, what are you going to do? You're going to sleep your life away, which we already do. There are only certain days and years given to us to enjoy this life and to be a servant of Jehovah God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we need time to get up in the morning. I mean, I love getting up early in the morning. I'm an early person. I love getting up at 4:30 in the morning. I get up because I go surfing. And man, when it's beautiful in the morning, now at 5:30, the sun's come up. And by 6 o'clock, man, you start seeing this beautiful thing. And yet people are still in bed. Some people are still in bed. And they don't get up till 10 or 11. Some work all night long. They sleep all day long. And imagine how it takes a toll on your body. And yet think of all the hours we sleep, all the hours we play, all the things that we do. But how many hours do we really spend in the most important thing? And that is what? God. His word. His word. You can make all excuses you want. You have to answer to God. If you have enough time to go to soccer games, baseball games, football games, playing cards with your friends, being on your computer for hours, wasting time in the internet, shame on you. You should be locked up in a little room by yourself with your Bible open and piece of paper and pen and ask God to speak to you as you read, as you take notes, and you begin to God to make you grow in the Word of God. We need to be men and women of the Word. That's what the Bible teaches. And it's really important for me as I begin to read this beautiful psalm here. Because the psalm begins now in Psalm 119. It begins now by the blessing of obeying God's word. Can you believe that? The first 8 verses is the blessing to those who obey God's word. Check this out. Beginning at verse 1, he says, "Blessed," or "oh, how happy are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." You cannot walk in the law of the Lord if you do not know the word of God. Walking is in fellowship with God. You have to know God's word. And what's amazing here is that the psalmist is speaking about walking. Literally, he says, "Blessed are the moral, blessed are the obedient." Not the ones that disobey, but the ones that obey. Why? Because the more you read, the more you pray, the more you come to church, the more you fellowship, the closer you get to God, guess what happens? The greater the battle will be against Satan, but God will give you the victory. And you don't have to worry about Satan. He can't touch you. Only by permission. Only by permission. And that's one of the things that has kept my life for 37 years. The Word of God. Yes, because I've never been depressed in my life. I don't even know what depression is. But I've been oppressed. I've been oppressed tremendously. And there's a lot of times that Satan will come and he will become the accuser in my life. And I always say, go talk to Jesus Christ. Because he's paid the price for my sins through the cross of Jesus Christ. And I think that it's really important that as you go back into the Word of God, you can read the Psalms and you can read the Proverbs. If you're going to be a morning person, every morning we should be what? There's 31 Proverbs. There's 31 days in the calendar in some months. So every day you should read a proverb. Every day. Proverbs are what? Wisdom. Wisdom. We need knowledge and wisdom. And then if you're going to read the Psalms, we should read the Psalms in the evening when we go to bed. Why? Because they're prayers that are written down for us. What is he saying here? Oh, how happy are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Notice that. And then what? Oh, how happy are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with their whole heart. Now, you notice what he's saying? He's saying that those that have a half heart or a quarter of a heart or one third of a heart are not going to be what? Blessed. God wants your whole heart. Your whole heart. Or you can't serve God. You can't be divided between two opinions. That's why so many people struggle spiritually. Because number one, they don't study, they don't pray, they don't study God's word, they don't know God's word. So when you're going through a problem, difficult time, you don't even know what book to read, like the book of James or 1st or 2nd Peter, or go back to the book of Deuteronomy, or go to the Psalms or the Proverbs. Those are books that are going to minister to you. And so it's really important that we understand what the psalmist is saying here. This is the blessed way. By obeying God's word, you will be blessed. It doesn't mean there's no trials and no temptations. Oh yeah, there's going to be many trials, many temptations. But guess what? The word of God sustains me. This is food for the soul. This is what makes me grow. That's why God and Jesus said what? He said that the word of God is more important than eating 3 meals a day. It's more important to devour God's word. That's what's going to sustain you. When Satan came to Jesus and he said, "Hey, listen, Jesus, are you hungry? Why don't you turn those stones into bread?" And he said, "What? Man shall not live by what? By bread alone, but by the word of God. Bread, you'll eat and you'll hunger again, but the word of God will sustain you. The word of God is your defense against the darkness. It brings light. It's my shield of faith. The sword where I kill my enemy." You see? It's all there in the Bible, according to God's word. And walking is fellowship with God. Remember in Genesis chapter 5, in the first 21 verses, is what? They died, they all died. And then he comes to Enoch and it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him." Why? In Hebrews chapter 11, 5 and 6, because he pleased God. He walked with God. He knew God's law. Imagine that. "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity." Notice that. Have you ever noticed how much trouble sin gets you into, and then the reaping of sin, the consequences? Big time. Ask those that commit adultery. Ask those that are drunkards or fornicators or adulterers or whatever they do in sin. Cheating, lying. Not loving people. Hating people. Judging people. And it's interesting that here he's talking about sin. And he's saying, those who seek him with their whole heart, they do not, notice, do iniquity, but they walk in, capital H, his ways, God's ways. The word of God keeps you away from sinning against God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brings conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts me. He lets me know, first of all, what you're going to do, it's not good. You better think about it before you do it. That's only believers. Non-believers do whatever they want to do. They have their own conscience. But there is no excuse with Christians. Why? Because when we came to Christ, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was leaving, when he's talking to the disciples in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, in the last week before he leaves and he goes to the cross, what does he say to them? "I'm not going to leave you alone, but I'm going to send the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, the one that will come alongside to assist you. Whenever you need anything, he's going to be right there with you. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, believe also that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you also will be with me." The word of God. The word of God. It's really important that we understand and memorize scriptures. Pictures in our minds of Genesis chapter 1, creation, chapter 2, the first marriage, and then chapter 3, the fall of man, chapter 4 of Genesis, the first murder, Cain and Abel, chapter 5, the genealogy, everybody dies except for Enoch, he goes to heaven, chapter 6, the beginning of what? Of Noah, in chapter 7, 8 and 9, and the flood. Chapter 10, we have, what, a bunch of genealogies too. Chapter 11 or 10 is the flood of, actually the Tower of Babel. And then you come to chapter 11 and you see where Nimrod builds his great tower up to the heavens. And chapter 12 is the beginning of Abraham, and all the way through the whole Bible, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And then you're with Moses in the book of what? Exodus. You got to know the word of God. Knowing the books of the Bible. We have tools that I learned to do that. And so here the psalmist is really bringing up some real important things to the word of God. He goes on and he says in verse 4, "You have commanded us," notice who? God has commanded us to what? "To keep," or to preserve, or to protect your precepts diligently. Wow. Underline it. Diligency. Are you diligent to getting up in the morning and before you go to bed, spending time with God? and His Word. Very important. The purpose of God's law is to bring us into what? Into fellowship with God. Very important. Fellowship with God. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Notice that. That can only happen supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. That's why the world's going crazy. They don't know what to do anymore. But we have the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth, to bring conviction to my life, in my heart, so that I do not sin against God. And that doesn't mean I'm perfect. But conviction comes into my life. And I don't do those things that I used to do because those things destroyed my life. I'm a child of the light, not a child of darkness anymore. And if you want the darkness to go away, just find the switch and turn on the light. And Jesus said He was the light of the world. Very important. He goes on in verse 6. Notice the results of obedience here. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. You see, the law here was intended to bring you to what? To bring you to Jesus Christ. To bring you to Jesus Christ. The law brought me to Christ. It showed me my sinfulness, that I was on my way to hell. And I needed Jesus Christ in my life. The law doesn't save you. It condemns you. Pretty heavy. The only one that can save is Jesus Christ, by coming to faith in Him. Putting my whole faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's why people are confused in America and the world. They think that on Sunday mornings they get up and they get dressed up and they go to church. They're doing God a favor. You can't do any favors for God. People can go to church and they can sit in churches and not be saved. And just hear sermons. When you hear a true sermon of God, there's going to be what? Conviction. There's going to be have to be a change of heart, a change of attitude, a change of life. The way I came into the place, when I leave, I should be different. Applying everything that I heard the rest of the week to keep me in God's law and in God's ways. Real important what He's teaching here. He goes on. Verse 6. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Notice that. And the word here, all, is in respect to all His commandments. And He said, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Uh-oh, look what He said. When I learn your righteous judgments, which means what? If you want to get educated, you got to go to school. It all depends what kind of education you want. If you just want a high school diploma, that's great. You want to go to junior college? 2 years. You want to get a 4-year degree and a BA? 4 years. If you want to get a master's, you want to get a master in what? Or you want to get a doctorate? The higher education, the better the job will be, the better the pay will be. That's the way it is. And here He's talking to Christians and He says, if you really, really, truly want to know God, study God's word. Study, educate yourself. Don't be illiterate in the things of God. Know who God is. If you say you believe in Jesus Christ, you know, you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, they got a weak one and a strong one. They got a partnership going on. And if the young Jehovah's Witness is not really making an impact, then the other guy will jump in that knows all the laws of a Jehovah's Witness. And man, I love talking to those guys. Or Jehovah's Witness, or Mormons, or whatever religion it may be. You see? So we need to study so that we can communicate, we can talk to people. And we're not trying to convert anybody. You see? They're always trying to convert us. We can't convert anybody. Why? Because the Bible says, not Joseph Smith, or the Book of Mormons, or the, you know, the Watchtower magazine, or their Bible, doesn't say what? That we can only convert people. No, that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can convert a person. Not us. And we're not a religion. We are a what? We are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are a fellowship. A fellowship. And if we're going to say we're a church, yes, we are the called out ones. Ecclesialia in the Greek. We're a fellowship of believers. Believing in what? Believing in Jesus Christ and believing in His Word. His Word is very important. To know it fully and completely. Then he says, again, verse 7, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep, when I learn them, I'm going to obey them. I'm going to keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Notice that. Do not forsake me utterly. Now the second part to the next 8 verses is now called Beth. And the word here that he's going to speak to us about here, he's going to now share with us the cleansing now, the power of cleansing through the word of God. He starts out in verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? Notice the answer. By taking heed according to what? Your word. You see? To young people. How can young people get out of sin? By coming to God and coming to His Word. The Word of God will wash you through His blood of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is like water. It cleanses you. You take a bath every morning, take a shower, it cleanses, it feels good. That's what the Word of God does. It cleanses your mind from all that filth in the internet, all the movies, all the music, all the ugly things that we see in this world. The Word of God cleanses us. You have to really set lines in your life, barriers, if you really want to serve the Lord, if you really want to be with the Lord. You really have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit when He's convicting you and speaking to you so that you can obey His voice. And that's why here David is really just pronouncing out, how can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word? Notice that. And then he says, with my whole heart, not part of your heart. Your whole heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts, he says. And what does he say? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to God's word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Is that true of you tonight? Are you really, truly seeking out God with all of your heart? If you do, you'll find Him. But if you're not, you'll never find Him. You'll never find Him. That's what the psalmist says here. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Lord, keep me close to your heart. I don't want to leave your commandments. I want to make sure that I know the word of God. Why? Because humans have a tendency to walk away from God. Think of all the backsliders tonight that have walked away from Jesus Christ, and their conviction of God's Holy Spirit is no longer there because they've been so far away from God for so many years, they become just like the world today. And then suddenly, God starts working in their hearts. And what happens? They repent and they return back to the Lord. That's what got my son back to the Lord. That's what keeps me in the Lord. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. Your word, he says in verse 11, have I hidden in my heart. There's the heart again. I have hidden your word in my heart. Notice why. That I may not sin against you. Wow. Underline it. The word of God will keep you from sinning against God. Remember I told you, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. And sin will keep you from God. Because sin breaks fellowship with God. It separates you. It's really important that we understand what David is writing here. Again, he says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then he says, oh, how happy are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Notice that. With a sense of joy, the psalmist is crying out. He says, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I may not have money, but I got the word of God. I am the most wealthy man in this whole world because God is in me and working through me. The word of God better than gold or silver. More than riches, the word of God. And then he says what? I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Have you ever just sat back after you read and meditated? I'm not talking about I used to do that and fall asleep. But really meditating, taking scriptures and really thinking of the stories that you read that morning. This morning I'm going through 2 Samuel right now, and I was reading about David when he fell with Bathsheba into sin and he killed her husband to get her to come to himself. Meditating on what you read. Now you're saying, I read my 5 chapters today, that's law. But reading, understanding, meditating, and then acting upon the word of God throughout the day. Telling others about God's word when they ask you, you're giving them an answer. You see? That's why we read. That's why we study. And then in verse 16 he says, I will delight myself in your statutes. Delighting, you know, I mean, think of what are you really delighting in your life? I mean, there's many things in this world. But you know how cool, I mean, man, I delight surfing, man. I love surfing. And you know what? It's not to be compared with the word of God. It's not to be compared that way. I mean, do you really get excited? Now I'm going to sit down and I'm going to ask God to speak to me. I delight in God speaking to me. Not in an audible voice, because otherwise I would get a heart attack. But when I open his word and I read, and then the word of God is jumping out on me. Wow, that's it, Lord. That's what I want. He says, what? I will delight myself in your statutes. Check this out. And I will not forget your word. Think of how many people forget God's word. Why? Because they don't meditate. They don't memorize. It's good to memorize scriptures every day. Every day. It's better to do it in the old King James or New King James. Modern translations, I wouldn't do it. It's not the right scripture. It's not the right translation. But memorizing scripture. Why? Because when you're in need, boom, it pops up in your mind. Oh yeah, that's a scripture. And you can quote it. And it'll speak to your heart. And with computers today and phones, you can put the Bible in your phone. Man, you can be reading the Bible in your phone. There's so many programs today. And the Word of God is so rich and so powerful that it's really important, not only for older people, but for younger people. Remember, in the Old Testament, when the people were having babies in the time of Moses, when the women were having babies, the first thing they would do when the baby would come out of the womb, the actual women would take those babies, they would carry them up to their mouth and get the baby's ear, and they would say, Yahweh is God. That's the first word that a child would hear. Yahweh is God. What are babies here today? What about your children? What do they listen to? What are they watching? The Disney Channel? Oh, good luck. Seriously, good luck. Don't pollute your children's minds. Choose and select what they're going to see and what they're going to hear as long as they live in your home. Be a good supervisor. Don't lord over them, but teach them why that's bad and why this is good. Sitting down with them at dinner, giving them a Bible story. Making it exciting for them. Whenever they do wrong, take them to the Word of God and say, this is why I'm going to discipline you. Never hitting with a hand or kicking with the feet, but a twig is very good. It stings. And guess what? The next time you go to, you know, it's like if you're going to, come here, son. Because you probably smack them in the head all the time. The hands were made to love, not to hit. You see? And it's really important. I've seen them in the story. The little kids are running around and the mom says, come here. And the little kid comes up and the mom says, what did I? They put up their hands. Self-defense. Because they know they're going to get hit. But imagine when a parent disciplines his children, come here, honey, and they get on their knees and they say, now look at this, is wrong. The way I talk to my granddaughters, I made all my mistakes with my boys. And that's a grandpa, man. Shoot, that's so cool. Different. You learn and live. Awesome, man. It's awesome. So it's good. So it's important that we understand that as we begin to not only study and read God's word, what are we going to do? We're going to become better communicators. And we're going to be able to exhort and to comfort people. And at the same time, guess what's going to happen? The word of God is going to wash my mind and my heart, and I will become a better citizen of the kingdom of God. Why? Not because I want to be an encyclopedia. But I want to make sure that when I have someone to talk to, I have something to say. And it's not my knowledge or my counsel, it's God's word to them that will bring comfort to them and peace in their lives. We didn't get too far. Father, we come before you tonight to thank you so much for your love and grace and mercies. We pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would teach us in this great psalm, Lord God, so that, Lord, we can come to that place in our lives to know you intimately and to really know your word, Father. We pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would continue to move in us and to work through our lives, Jesus. And Lord, we do pray that as people have to go to work tomorrow and children have to go to school, Father, that you would give them your rest. Father, help us to study this psalm incredibly, Father, to know it. And that you build us up, Lord God. And Lord, we pray if there's anybody visiting with us here tonight that are not Christians, Father, whatever denomination, whatever religion they believe in, Lord God, Father, that they should know that there's only one narrow road that leads to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ taking the narrow path. But the way that is brought, many, many go there, but it's the way to destruction. For you said that you're the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And the only way to come to know Jesus Christ is when you're ready to repent of your sins because God's convicted you that you're a sinner. And you come forward and you repent and you confess your sins to him by faith. And then you put your faith and trust in him. He takes his blood. He washes you from all of your sins. He takes your sins and casts them as far as the east to the west. Buries them in the deepest part of the ocean. Never again remembers them again. And then he writes your name in the book of life. And he gives you the guarantee of eternal life. And if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven. That's what he says in his word. If there's anybody here tonight that would like to receive Christ, please stand to your feet right now. Come up here to the front. He calls you publicly and stand here, and I'm going to pray with you. We're going to worship a song. You get up and you come as God speaks to you. Male, female, young, old, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. That's why we're here tonight. Father, we're so thankful for these that have come. And Lord, we pray for each one of them individually, Father, that you would have your way in their hearts and their lives, Jesus. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me. Pray with me out loud this prayer. Repeat after me. Make it your prayer and receive Christ tonight, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith is my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there? Go ahead right over there. You guys turn around and go right over there. Cool. That's neat. All right. What a blessing.